Namaste, friends, and welcome to Intuitive Living. This is Reverend Teresa Zarello, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm here each week to bring you spiritual, holistic, and inspirational guidance to help you live an empowered, enlightened life. And if you are needing a dose of inspiration, then you have come to the right place tonight, because I have a lady with me who is filled with inspiration and wisdom and enthusiasm, and I am delighted that she is here with me. She is a very popular spiritual teacher, an angel communicator, and as I put on the message that I sent out, I said she's an intuitive extraordinaire. How did you like that one?
That was a good one. Thank you.
Yes. So I'd like to welcome to Intuitive Living tonight, Ann Albers.
Thank you, Teresa. I love being on your show.
Yes. I love having you on my show.
Yeah, we get real happy here.
We do. Ann and I always have great fun. We can sit and talk for hours and hours.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a delight tonight to chat with you. And we're opening the phone lines tonight. So if you would like to chat with Ann and I, please give us a call. The numbers are 623-772-9379. That's the local number in Phoenix. Or the toll-free number is 1-800-920-3717. So we'd love to chat with you. We're not doing readings tonight, but we are talking about spiritual topics, and we will give spiritual guidance, but no readings tonight, please. So we reserve those for the first Monday of each month. So if you're looking for an intuitive reading, you can mark that on your calendar, first Monday of each month. But and this next one, let's see, going to be the first Monday in March. I'm going to be talking about the pendulum. So
that'll be fun.
Yeah, my guidance was to not only do intuitive readings the first of each month, but each month I'm highlighting a different intuitive tool.
Oh, that's fantastic. So they can learn too while you're doing the readings.
Right. Yes.
That's great.
So this past month we did the tarot, and for March we're going to be focusing on the pendulum.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So everyone needs to get their pendulum and learn while they're on the air, right?
That's right. So
okay.
We'll do that. But tonight I'm delighted to have you with us. And Anne has truly been one of the most important spiritual mentors for me. And I just can't tell you how much you have helped me in my life personally.
Well, you're an inspiration, Teresa, because when the angels talk to Teresa, she just does it. Whatever they suggest, she just runs out and does it.
Yes.
And life works.
Yeah.
As a result, when you follow your guidance, and I think that's one of the things you always promote on the show about people listening to their own guidance, listening to their own hearts, listening to their mm-hmm. own wise counsel within.
Right.
Because if you listen to that, your life starts getting very exciting.
And that's why I don't do intuitive readings all the time on the show. Because really the premise of this show is about teaching people how to listen to their own intuitive guidance. We all have those moments when we need guidance from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And Anne is one of the people that I have gone to who has helped me. And that's fine. We all need some.
I go to someone else. You had Summer Bacon on the show. When
uh-huh.
I need to hear the voices outside of my head,
uh-huh.
I actually go talk to Summer Bacon and the angels that come through her.
Yeah, because it's hard sometimes to read for yourself and be objective.
Yes.
But we need to learn how to listen to that intuition and follow it in our daily life.
So you do a fantastic job of it.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And it's a delight, and it's my passion and joy. So that's what I like to promote on the show. But anyway, I want to talk about you tonight.
Okay.
And all the wonderful things that you have going on. I mean, here in the Phoenix, Arizona area, Anne has really built up quite a fan club. I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of people that know who she is, that she has helped, and now she's branching out outside of Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm just very excited for you because a lot of you may know that the Celebrate Your Life conference is held here in Phoenix once a year. It's held in November,
mm-hmm.
and Anne was invited to speak this last year at the conference, which is a big deal. It's a really big deal.
I was honored.
This is the heavy hitters. I mean, this is Wayne Dyer. This is Deepak Chopra. This is Neil Donald Walsh.
And me.
And all these people. And Anne
yeah.
got to speak there this last year.
It was an honor.
And now Mishka is branching out and is going to start doing Celebrate Your Life in other cities. And they've chosen Chicago as the next destination.
Right.
And Celebrate Your Life is going to be the first weekend in March. Is that correct?
Actually, no. The Celebrate Your Life in Chicago is June 22nd through 24th.
Oh, okay. I'm
yeah.
sorry.
No, that's okay. The weekend, March is my thing.
That's your thing. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in just a second. But so June
2nd through 24th.
Okay. Okay.
And it's all on my website, and their website is celebrateyourlifedog.org.
Yeah. So Anne has been invited to speak at the Chicago Celebrate Your Life as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited for you.
Thank you. I am too.
Yeah, this is a big deal. And so I'm just thrilled.
This is what happens when you give God permission to take over your life.
Mm-hmm. there's always a bigger picture.
Buckle up and get ready to go. Yeah.
Yeah, there's always when I've heard it said, when you get out of your own way.
Absolutely. Yes.
Right? Yeah.
I did, because I was truthfully very comfortable talking to clients in my office for several years now, last 10 years really. And I've always known I was supposed to get out in public in a bit larger way. And it was only last year that I gave God permission. In fact, the magic began to happen at your show here when you interviewed James and Sally Redfield. That prior weekend, the angels had told me, finish your manuscript and bring a copy to the radio interview.
Oh.
And I thought they were batty because I thought, of course, James and Sally Redfield, authors of the Celestine Prophecy, don't have time to read manuscripts. And of course, they didn't. But Liz Dawn from Mishka was there. She said, what are you doing, Anne? And I said, well, this. She grabbed it out of my hand, said, we need to look at this, and I got a call the next weekend to be at Celebrate Your Life. So
that's awesome.
The magic began right here in this studio.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know that little story.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's
so
exciting.
So you played a role in this. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And that was a fun night because we had like 30 people here in this little studio.
And they were so down to earth and extraordinary. And I think that's the epitome of the very amazing spiritual people in the world are actually very human, too.
Yes.
And very down to earth, and they don't put themselves on pedestals, even though others like to do that. And my big joke is, you know, you just said I have a lot of fans. Well, I'm fans of a lot of people, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at it that way, that I think we're all equal, and my clients amaze me and impress me, and what they're doing in their lives is so extraordinary at times. Even if it isn't out in public, even if it's not, you know, say, speaking or having a radio show, but some of my clients that are, say, struggling with a kid on drugs, and yet find the courage to love themselves in the process. To me, that's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some amazing things going on out there very quietly. So I think we're all equal, but the spiritual people I've met that are out in public, like I said, I was fortunate to speak with and meet Wayne Dyer and Marianne Williamson. They're amazing human beings, and they're very down to earth, and they're very kind, and it was so heartening to see that the people out there teaching us are walking the talk.
I've always heard that about Wayne Dyer, because the people that have met him at these celebrations say that he walks out amongst the crowd and shakes hands and talks to people and everything. And
yeah, very down to earth, very, very human.
Yeah, likes to chit-chat with people and stuff, so that's fun.
It's wonderful, and I think that's one of the things that if I have a mission, it's to help people understand that being human does not make you not spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, being the best human you could be is extremely spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes there's a tendency for people to think that you're either spiritual or you're human, you know. You're either holy or you have your moods. But the truth is, it's all holy. It's all spiritual.
Yeah, because that is the nature of what we are.
Yeah, it's just a matter of how much consciousness are you going to bring into your moods and your human moments.
Right.
That's what I think is so important for people to recognize out there, that we're not striving to become something we're not already. You know, the truth is we're trying to love what we are. And when you really get that, that you can love yourself in every moment of every day, then all of a sudden life starts getting rather amazing and miraculous and kind of fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's really just awakening to what you already are.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we hear that word awakening, and we hear the word enlightenment so much as like a destination of some place we have to get to.
Right. I'm so glad you said it that way. Because
But that's not really what it is.
No, I mean, it's not. It's not like the end of a journey. Enlightenment is a state of being for our soul. We already exist in that state in our soul. We come to Earth, and we forget that a little bit. And it's our job, in a sense, to wake up and go, wait a minute, I'm fine the way I am. I can still love myself no matter what I'm doing. If I have a bad day or a bad mood, I can still choose in that moment to say, I honor myself as part of God's creation. And in doing that, in accepting yourself in each moment, no matter what, you begin to transform. And you begin to realize that there's love behind everything and that you are love. You are part of the divine creation. And that changes you. So yeah, enlightenment's not some destination that we haven't already reached. It's kind of what we're sitting in and on and around all the time, but just haven't woken up to realize.
It's like you've probably heard that analogy or that story about, you know, a fish in the ocean or a fish in water.
Ah, tell it. That's a good one.
You know, if you ask the fish what is water, you know, they're,
I don't know.
Yeah. They're immersed in it because they're it's all around them. It is what they are.
Exactly.
You know, and so spirit is like that with us. We are like
we are that
little fish in the ocean. It's all around us. It's everything that we are. But yet, because it's so close to us, sometimes we have trouble seeing it.
I think one of my favorite definitions of God and enlightenment was by Obi-Wan Kenobi in Star Wars. You know, when he says the force is an energy field that surrounds us and penetrates us and binds the galaxies together.
Yes.
Well, if you think about it, the light, the God light that we are, is that. It surrounds us and penetrates us and binds the galaxies together. It is us. It's who we are. We're just all different forms of one light, and quantum physics will teach you the same thing. It's hysterical if you think about it. The mystics and the quantum physicists have known all along the very same truth, that there's one reality in the universe, one quantum field of energy, you know, or if you looked at one God, and we're all part of that. We're just different manifestations of that one energy out there in its million glorious forms. You know, if you take a diamond and you shine a light on it, it breaks apart into all these different little rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked at just, say, the red band on the wall to the left, you know, that's an individual. But it's still part or a fragment of the light that comes through that diamond.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, we're little fragments of God's light projected in different, you know, forms and nations and bodies and objects. But we're all part of that oneness. And when you start realizing that, you realize that if you're upset or nasty to someone else, it's like the left hand smacking the right. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It makes more sense to say in a very kind, loving way, that doesn't work for me, say, if you're upset at somebody. So you start acting differently when you start living in the oneness. You start realizing that it's all part of one. Some parts are awake and some aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives you better ways to deal with life and relationships and yourself, because you start realizing that, hey, if something's, you know, bothering me or someone is bothering me, they're just not awake. They don't realize that, you know, in a sense, they're turning around and hurting the whole.
Some people have, I think, a difficult time grasping what we mean by the oneness.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, think of the ocean again. I liked your ocean analogy. Say there's, we'll pick one of the oceans. Okay, so we have one ocean. But what if you were to pour it into 1,000 tiny glasses? You know, you were to put a bunch of little glasses in the ocean and fill them up. Well, the water in those glasses is still part of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yet it's part of one, and yet it's contained in a separate container.
I've heard it described as like the wave.
Yes,
you know?
That's another way to look at
the
it.
The wave
yeah.
comes up, and then you might have a spray of mm-hmm. little droplets that come off.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so when we're in that stage of our evolution, we individualize.
Uh-huh.
And then we go back.
We maintain all our memories, though.
Yeah.
That's
then,
a beautiful part.
And then
our
we go back
maintains.
Into the ocean and mm-hmm. become part of the oneness again.
Yeah, and last night, in fact, oh, that's right. They were talking to me last night. I forgot the angels. And they used the drop of water analogy. They said, imagine you're a drop of water in the ocean, and you're perfectly happy, and you don't even realize you're separate. And then you start to, you know, enjoy life, and you might go through a fish. You might go up and down on the shore. And sooner or later, your life in the ocean is a little boring, so you decide, I'm going to evaporate, and I'm going to go travel into the clouds.
Mm.
But you're still that drop of water, and you're still part of what the ocean was. And then you fall down to the earth in the rain, and you become part of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And something eats you, you know, and then you go back into the system and down the river and back into the ocean. So it's a never-ending cycle of changing forms.
Mm-hmm.
We are energy that changes form as part of our evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're in linear time, we only know ourselves to be, say, Therese or Anne.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all we need to focus on right now. But eventually, we all transition out of body. We all return to pure spirit. We mm-hmm. all start to recognize the fact that we're part of this one creation. We're not separate from everyone else. The way I explain it in very simple terms is you have 10 fingers, but they're part of two hands. Those two hands are part of one body. That body is part of a human race. That human race is part of an ecosystem on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth is part of the solar system. The solar system is part of the galaxy. The galaxy is part of the universe, and the universe is part of God.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all individuals, but we're all part of something so much greater than us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we change form.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that recently, you know, and we hear about how we should not allow ourselves to become so attached to things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in the Eastern religions, they talk about detachment. And this is precisely why. Because when we attach to an image of ourselves in a certain way, or when we attach to another person, then we're only going to cause ourselves pain and suffering.
Yeah, or get attached to a thing. I mean, I lost my favorite pair of sunglasses the other day. They just fell out of my pocket on a hike. And in my past, I would have probably wasted hours looking for them and gotten all upset. And I know this is a silly thing, but ruined my day. And I blessed them and asked God to please find them a new home with somebody that would enjoy them and went out and got another pair.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, what happens when you lose someone in a relationship, far more important, or somebody passes away? Well, you realize that they still exist, that the love you either have or had still exists at the soul level. The relationship has just changed form.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the most graceful divorces I've ever seen are when people realize, well, we can't live together anymore, but we're still friends. You know, we can change form. We can go back to the love.
Mm-hmm.
And then others completely separate, and the form there is, well, we can't remain friends, but they do it with dignity and grace.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, whenever you get too attached to having things stay exactly the same way that they are today, forever and ever, there's a possibility of suffering there because we can't guarantee things won't change. But what we can do is we can live in the moment and we can embrace the fact that everything is actually designed to change. You know, the angel's favorite analogy is you plant a seed. Well, the seed's destined to break out of its shell and grow into, say, a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tree is destined to bear fruit. The fruit's destined to fall off the tree and to decay and to grow new seeds that then grow again into other trees. And so everything, including you, me, and the trees and the plants, is in a cycle of growth that's never ending. And the beauty of it is if you can embrace the growth process and embrace the fact that, you know, the job you thought was perfect today, you know, 6 years from now, may be the worst thing you ever had because you've outgrown it. You're that seed that's ready to break free into a new state of mm-hmm. evolution.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So there's one thing that people get into that I think is a little uncomfortable. When we say non-attachment, people think that that means they can't love who they're with or what they own.
Mm-hmm.
They think that detachment means don't get emotionally attached, don't love it. Detachment simply means love it with all your heart, but when it's time to release, bless it and release it.
And I also think it means to realize the source from where it came.
Right, and there's always more, bigger, better, faster, whatever. You know, if God takes something from your life, God's about ready to give you something better.
Mm-hmm. Because when we put God in the center of our life and realize that God is the source,
mm-hmm.
then all the multiplicity of expressions we can love and embrace and experience.
Yeah.
And then we can experience the love of God through that.
Absolutely.
But what happens is a lot of times people love an object or a person without realizing that God is the source, and then they're attached to the physicalness and the possession of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my angels once, you know, in my young 30s, I was pretty typical female, single, ignored all my guidance for myself while giving everyone else very good guidance and dated a bunch of scary people. I mean, people that were very wonderful growth lessons for me. And the angels, when I finally learned to love myself through this, they said, yes, Anne, you know, you used to pick a person and make them your God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You
That's
felt
exactly
that
what
they
I mean.
Would be the source of your happiness. They would be the source of your comfort and security in life.
Mm-hmm.
And once I found God inside and God is available in the entire universe, it's pretty impossible to feel alone then. I mean, we can still have our human lonely moments, but then you get back into spiritual truth and you look around and you go, this place is filled with God's love and energy.
Yeah, because every person that comes into your life or animal or whatever mm-hmm. it is, you can experience God's love through them.
Absolutely. My dog is a major source of God's love, for example.
Well, yeah. I was going to say my cats, but I thought maybe I was going out
no,
to being too
no.
corny. But the same thing with my cats.
Yeah, my rose bushes.
Yeah.
My car. I mean, a material object. Well, it's got a little spirit attached to it. Its name is Zippy. And I sit in my car and I feel this joy angel that has managed to attach to my car and tell me when to check the tires. And I feel loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds ridiculous if you're not, you know, into spirituality. But the truth is, there's a life and a consciousness and spirits and angels all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there is love everywhere you choose to look for it. And sometimes it's a little harder to find than others. You know, I was, for example, I had a little laugh over here. They always set me up when I'm on the radio. My jeans did not dry in time. So if you could see me right now, nothing matches my blue top except for the blue ink that spilled on my hand prior to coming from the printer cartridge. And so, you know, in my past life, that would have been a bad day. But instead, I had a good laugh about it because the first thought that popped in my head now is, well, thankfully it's radio and we can make a joke out of this and nobody has to look at my blue fingers and mismatched pants. You know?
She looks wonderful.
Yeah, but it's just humorous because if you think about it, when you can either see things as positive and find some good in it, or you can see them as a negative. Jay-Z Knight, when she was on Larry King, she had a wonderful statement. Larry King said, "Do you ever have bad days?" And she said, "When I choose to feel sorry for myself." I thought that was absolutely beautiful because really that's the truth of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks like we have some callers on the line.
Let's go.
Shall we take a call?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Jay from Alberta is on the line.
We've talked to Jay before, haven't we, Jay?
Yes. Jay's one of our...
Have we talked to you before, Ann, or is it before?
Yeah, you did once.
Jay's one of my loyal listeners.
I remember you.
Hi, Jay. How are you tonight?
I usually go by a saying, do people find beauty in a snowflake in a snowstorm?
Absolutely.
That's my saying.
Yes, yes.
Because you were talking about finding beauty in everything, eh? Even you know, Greg Braden's book regarding that, eh? Finding beauty in everything, eh? Discovering beauty in the...
I believe that.
Absolutely. I mean, I was driving over to the radio station today, and the sky is pitch black all around us, and I felt really blessed because the sun was shining in my eyes all the way over. And, you know, normally that's kind of tough to have the sun shining in your eyes while you drive, but it was glorious. The rays of light were breaking through the center of the clouds, you know, almost like God put a little spotlight on me. It was gorgeous. The dark was all around. So, yeah, you can, if you look hard enough, you can find beauty in everything. I went to Peru and Bolivia in 97, and when we crossed the border, the town was the most filthy town I've ever seen in my entire life. But the eyes of the people were beautiful, and they were with their families, and they were kind to one another. And so we really see what we look for.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question for you. It just popped in my head. It's about awareness. And, you know, with the spirituality that's, you know, ever-increasing on this world, is that when people become more aware, they see themselves and see the beauty of everything. Is that, to the average person, are they too busy to see the beauty in everything? Or is it just because of our society or technology that's doing
it? No, that's a great question. I think it's training, because a lot of us were trained to look for what's wrong. You know, what we need to improve upon. And so to me, it's just like building a bit of mental muscle. You have to start looking for the good. And you have to make it a little challenge to yourself. I'm going to get up today and I'm going to look for the good. And if somebody's cranky in front of me, I'm going to look in their eyes and see what I can find. One of my favorite examples is I was in a Target store. And this older lady was just yelling at this poor little 16-year-old girl, checkout clerk. And I thought, oh God, I've got to help her out. So I looked at the lady, and I was searching and searching, and I saw laugh lines on her face. So I started telepathically sending her a message that said, at least you've got a good sense of humor. And I kept thinking that real loud. She turned to the girl, stopped yelling, and she goes, well, I guess the only thing to do is laugh about it. And so, yes, sometimes you have to really work at it to see the good in a person. There are times when I am sorely challenged to see the beauty and the good in something, but I just challenge myself constantly, because the more I can find the good and the beauty, the happier my life goes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it also is about connecting with that joy deep within yourself. Like we talked about, you know, making God the source, putting God in the center of your life. And when you connect with that, and also when you connect with what is your purpose, your passion, and your gifts, which I like to talk about a lot, then you feel that sense of joy. You feel that sense of connection. And when you're in that state of joy, the world looks different. You're able to see the beauty. You're able to see joy in situations that you might not have seen before.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I think it's about being able to shift and live in that state of consciousness too.
And it does. It takes practice. That's a great question, because it doesn't just happen, and it's not a gift that some people have and others don't.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge yourself. I'd say to the listeners, get up tomorrow and challenge yourself to try to find something good no matter what. And it's going to be a challenge at times. You know, how do you find good in a traffic jam? That's a funny story. My angels once, I had been praying, help me learn to live in the moment. And I was up in Sedona, 2 hours north here, so I went to shut my car door, and my key broke off the little key fob and fell inside the car just as the door was shutting, and I locked myself out of my car.
So, obviously,
I had to learn to slow down and enjoy the moment. Well, I ended up having lunch with a wonderful lady. We got in the car, got on the road. Then I got stuck in a four-hour traffic jam, and the only thing I had with me on the freeway in this literally stop-and-go traffic was the book called The Power of Now. So I actually read part of The Power of Now while waiting in a, you know, basically a standstill in traffic. So, you know, there was some beauty in the moment, even though it normally would have been a huge annoyance.
Yes, Yes.
And you do, you got to work at these things because it's our human tendency because of our training and usually parental history and background to always look for what's wrong because we think that's going to help us correct it. But more often than not, it makes us miserable.
Yeah. And I do believe that there's good in everything.
Yeah, you got to work at
it. Even, you know, even when there's death, you know, I remember having a conversation with a lady once before and saying there's good in everything. And she says, well, what's good about somebody dying?
I can only,
But there is good. I mean, it's a...
Well, for one, they end up in a very happy place. I can vouch for that.
That, and you know, it may bring awareness to people that don't have that awareness. But also, you know, when somebody dies, a lot of times families come together and people may bond and
you realize how much you love.
Yeah, and...
Even if it hurts, you realize how much you love. You love deeper than you've ever loved before when you lose a loved one.
And it may help people forgive and let go of issues that had been long-standing in families. So
yeah, we're not saying everything's pleasant, but we're saying you can find the good in it, and when you do, you start becoming a happier person.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
I wish I could ask more some questions after the break.
So. Okay, hold on, and we'll take a quick break and come right back, so stay with us.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Folks, you've been asking for years, when am I going to come on the road? When am I going to do the Robbie Thomas Tour? It is here, officially. The Robbie Thomas Tour 07, Power of Spirit. That is right. Join me as I travel to 23 cities starting May 11th throughout the United States. I'm kicking it off in Kentucky and visiting many places like Chicago, Indianapolis, Knoxville, Memphis, all over the place. And I'm bringing the Power of Spirit to you. Live seminars, 2 and 3 day live seminars with a live paranormal investigation on each city stop. We're going to see, we're going to feel good about everything. Write to me, RobbieThomasTour@gmail.com or visit RobbieThomasTour.com. Thank you.
Hello, this is Debbie Johnstone and I'm an animal communicator. Since I was young, I could hear what animals are thinking. I now use this ability to help uncover your animal's questions, concerns, or what they enjoy about being with you. If you want to have a heart-to-heart conversation with your animal, call me, Debbie Johnstone, at 480-444-2341 or visit my website at listentoanimals.com. That's listen, the number 2, animals.com.
Hello, my name is Alex Marcillo, and I am the host of the Happy Healer Show. I am the founder of Master Energy Medicine with hope, healing, and a few miracles. Listen to the show Mondays from 5 to 6 p.m. on Achieve Radio.
Wolf Mechanical has been voted the number one air conditioning company in Arizona.
At Wolf Mechanical, we promise to be there for you. You call, we'll be there the same day, guaranteed. No matter what your problem, day or night, call Wolf. We'll fix it. No overtime, no extra charges, and no penalties because your unit failed at the wrong time.
If it's a tune-up, repair, or full unit replacement, Wolf Mechanical will be there the same day you call, guaranteed. Call now for the Wolf Mechanical Fall Tune-Up and save on your winter heating bill.
My day doesn't end till the phone stops ringing.
Have you been living in a velvet rut? Are you ready to create meaningful relationships and abundance? Yes, you can have it all. Monique Chapman tells you how in her new book, Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book. With advice and techniques that are metaphysically and spiritually sound, Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book will teach you how to tap into universal source energy to reclaim your power and create meaningful relationships and abundance. Don't wait any longer to start living the life you desire now. Order Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book today by calling toll-free 888-240-6057. Join the thousands who have made a paradigm shift in consciousness in the areas of wealth and relationships using the techniques Monique Chapman shares. Call toll-free 888-240-6057 and get your M&Ms today.
Hey, this is Bobby Marcheso. I'm a psychic medium. You can join me tonight for Spiritual Coffee, a brand new show here on Achieve Radio. Feel free to call in, ask questions, and even have a chance to win some great products. Tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific Time.
You're listening to AchieveRadio.com, the positive side of broadcasting.
We are back on Intuitive Living. Thank you for being with us tonight. This is Reverend Therese Zarello, and my guest extraordinaire is Ann Albers.
Thank you.
She is an intuitive, an angel communicator, a spiritual teacher, a lecturer, an author, and now a presenter at Celebrate Your Life.
Thank you.
Yes. And she also has many other classes and events and things. We're going to talk about that in just a minute.
Okay.
But since Jay's on the line, we'll let him ask his other questions. So, did you have something else to share, Jay?
Yes, I was watching actually the Oprah show regarding the reaction to The Secret actually on Friday, and I was actually struck by one part of the show, and that was when Michael Beckwith said, mediocrity always attacks excellence. And
true.
I played it over and over and over again, so I taped it. And it kind of struck me in such a way that when I think of that, it's almost like when you see a picture of Buddha, he's always has that slight smile on his face, and then he's meditating in a position, and then he has all this chaos around him, and he's still meditating. I always see myself in that way, that it's not my stuff, it's their stuff, and it's, you know, I'm standing in my own power, basically, and that doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's the old adage of one light in a dark room, you know, drives out the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That when you get in your light and you get that you're loved by God, and that the world is actually not adverse. It's actually teaching us and helping us grow into greater strength and awareness of who we are as souls. Then you do. You become a very bright light, and the chaos can swirl around you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can dip my finger in ink and not have the right pants and have traffic and storms all around and still get here in an extremely good mood, because, you know, that's the old saying in the Bible that you can be in the world but not of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we start living in heaven even though we're walking amidst the earth. And that doesn't mean life is perfect. You know, life happens. But that means the way we react to it and the way we handle it is different. It's more heavenly. It's more angelic rather than, you know, the way any of us was trained to react to life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I just had
Good point. Just had
William Meter here as a guest. And
oh, wow.
One of the things that he talked about was, you know, crisis usually precipitates spiritual growth.
Absolutely.
And crisis, you know, in Chinese simply means opportunity.
And in the Sanskrit word kriya means turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's really about our ability to view it from a different perception and to have that awareness of it, mm-hmm, as an opportunity for growth. And, you know, I think of the analogy of the butterfly in its chrysalis.
That's,
you know,
yeah, that's one of our favorites, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, if you help the butterfly out of the chrysalis, then it doesn't have the strength to fly, and then it dies.
Yeah, one of my clients was telling me, was it you, that the struggle to get out of the chrysalis actually pushes fluid down into the wings to expand the little veins in the wings so it,
mm-hmm,
can fly.
Mm-hmm. So it is a necessary part of the journey. If someone opens the chrysalis, then the butterfly will die.
For example, and I'll break it down to a real human example, I've been going through a lot of growth and a lot of preparation emotionally and spiritually to get out in public. Well, about 2 months ago, I was so cranky. And I mean, just cranky. I wasn't taking it out on anyone, but things that used to be okay just weren't tolerable. And I was kind of pissy, excuse me, you know, when somebody would say something, you know, rude or nasty to me, and I've usually just, you know, let it roll. And I realized, oh, I'm going out of the chrysalis again, you know, because, mm-hmm, every time we go through a major growth phase, you find that what you used to put up with isn't the same anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized it as that, and I got a sense of humor about it. I'd feel the feelings of, you know, the irritation coming up, and I'd laugh, and I'd say, oh, I'm just pushing out of the cocoon again.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone had removed my irritations, I wouldn't have learned new boundaries. I wouldn't have learned to honor and acknowledge myself at deeper levels. And the neat part is, you know, been at this long enough that I certainly didn't take it out on anyone. And in fact, I was more aware of the fact that there was a need to be kind and compassionate and loving while setting new boundaries. But as you said, it was through a little bit of, you know, what we used to call adversity, I just call strengthening, that I learned to value myself and my time better than I used to. And so, yeah, it's very true that whether you're a caterpillar crawling out of the cocoon as a butterfly or just a human being growing in awareness and self-appreciation and, you know, along your path, you might have a bit of a challenge at times, you know, that we used to label adversity, but now you know it's a strengthening phase.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. And if you look at it that way, you can actually have a sense of humor about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there becomes two of you, the human personality and the soul, and the soul's going, oh, here we're growing again, you know.
Yeah. And then when you see it from that perception, then it doesn't have to ruin your day.
No, and it doesn't. You can actually go, okay, I'm a little hissy here because all of a sudden I'm growing, and that's a good thing, and I trust that this too shall pass, and I'll be far more graceful if I just let the process unfold.
Yeah, yeah. Did that answer your question, Jay?
Yes, it does. Well, thanks so much for answering my questions on your show. It's been a blessing.
And thanks for your insights, because they're always very good.
Yeah. You're very well.
it's always nice to hear from you, Jay.
It's a blessing, too. Thanks so much to hear for you, too.
Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. So, yeah, so now we have Ariana. You want to take Ariana's call?
Hello.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, we promised we'd get to you today.
This is like perfect timing because, in a way, you just answered what was my question.
Oh.
Angels have a way of doing that.
Yeah, so as you know, I'm in this cocooning phase, and having a little trouble lately, you know, just feeling restless.
Yeah, and you know,
inside this envelope, you know?
That restlessness, I know that feeling. It's kind of an itchiness and you don't know what to do with it or where to put it yet.
Well, it's more like I have that frame of mind that what's in the now is forever lots of times.
Right. It's like a woman who's 7 months pregnant and feels like she'll never give birth.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty good analogy.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. No, that's a phase of growth we go through where we're not quite out of our old skin and not yet into the new one yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, that's a tough phase. You know, the Native Americans would call it the West on the medicine wheel, where the bear goes into the cave and mm-hmm. hibernates, basically. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that phase of life, it almost always involves people feeling almost like, well, I'm not depressed, but I don't feel too wondrous. I feel a little numb. You know, things are okay, but they're not perfect, and are they ever going to change? And there's a little restlessness that comes with it. And I think the thing to do is stay focused on the fact that you're willing to live one day at a time, and you will magically pop out the other side. Opportunity will come your way,
mm-hmm.
and it will happen rather quickly. All of a sudden, it's like you marinate and brew and hibernate, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you have an insight, or somebody comes in your life and offers you an opportunity,
mm-hmm.
and it changes. But there's just a timing to it that's very hard for us as human beings to trust, I think.
Well, because I think the pregnancy analogy was good because it is sometimes in our spiritual growth that we need a gestation period.
Yeah, and it's hard because we're human. We get impatient. I mean, I'm an Aries and I've had to really steady patience.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And patience is challenging when you're in that phase where you can't see what's next because it involves incredible trust in God, I think.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the angels told me 10 years ago that I'd be an author and a lecturer. So the first thing I did was what I was supposed to do. I wrote a book. And they said, well, now that's nice, but that book won't even be your first book published. And I said, well, what do you mean? You know, you said I'm supposed to be an author and a lecturer. You aren't ready yet. You're not ready to go out in public, and you won't be for years. Well, I didn't know years meant 10 years. And so I did what humans do. I ignored them, and I went out and submitted it to publishers who all gave me very wonderful rejections and told me the same thing as the angels. You're not ready to go out in public yet. You don't have a following. You don't have, you know, any sort of credentials. And I shelved that book, and I promise you guys I'll publish it someday. It's called Whispers of the Spirit. But I finally gave up on trying to make my path happen, and I just lived my life. I just started enjoying doing what showed up in the moment, which for a long time was readings and still is. And I enjoyed teaching classes, so when the Spirit moved me, I'd teach a class. And I just basically listened on a regular basis to whatever the guidance was and, you know, enjoyed my life. And it's in those phases where you just say, okay, God, I trust you'll figure out my life. I'm just going to enjoy it in the meantime. And, you know, I have this prayer, my favorite prayer. God, take my life, make me love it, and make sure that when you want me to know or do something, it's so obvious I can't miss.
That's a good one.
That's one of my favorite prayers because that way you're covered.
Yeah, that's
a good
one.
And you're just in that phase where you're, in a sense, waiting for operating instructions. So you might as well just relax and enjoy your life till they come.
Well, I think that's why it is so important to learn how to listen to your intuition and to check in on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And you go, what? And it's even to just demystify it a step further. your intuition is never necessarily going to be something that, oh, bing, pow, wow. You know, it's usually a sense of I'm getting up and, gee, I want to. Okay, I'll give you guys an example. Today, I'm running around running errands, and I ran past a dollar store, and I just had this urge to go into the dollar store, and I'm talking myself out of it to this day. You know, what am I going to do there? I have a million things to do. I got to get to the radio show, but it was a very strong urge. Finally, I said, oh, forget it. You know, I'm just going to go in there and have a little fun. Well, I'm in the dollar store, and I happened to find some holders that I needed to hold my CDs, and mind you, I'd been on a rush to go to the office store to get those. And so by honoring this little... desire, really, a lot of intuition comes via just an urging. I actually ended up saving quite a lot of money. And it's just hysterical that it's very practical. So while you're waiting for the big changes, enjoy your life in the little ways.
Okay.
Get a little bored. It's okay to be bored, folks. You know, sometimes in our boredom, when we finally sit still, and I mean sit still, I'm not talking about running around trying to burn off the boredom, but when we sit and we kind of let ourselves deal with the insecurities that come up and the lack of self-worth and all the rest of the garbage that shows up when we actually sit still. Sit through that. Go to the other side of it. You'll find out wonderful things about yourself.
You mean like sitting zazen?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sitting. And you'll find out, you know, the dreams in there that maybe you didn't want to look at because they're not here yet. But then the neat part is you can start praying for those dreams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I know you've done that personally, but I wanted to throw that in for other people, too.
Right, right. It's just very strange to be waking up every morning and feeling like being in bed is the best place I can be.
I was profoundly lazy, I would say. I think it was September and October. I mean, really, really lazy. I would get off after work, and instead of writing and doing all the million other things I had to do, I'd sit there and watch the Food Network, because Rachel Ray is my hero. And I would just sit there and do nothing in the evenings, which for me was unthinkable. That's not typical. But what happened is then I spoke at the conference. Life got so busy I could barely stand it now. And had I not rested up, I don't think I would have had the energy to do all the things, you know, that are hitting me now.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to trust that if the only urge you have is to rest, you rest.
Yeah.
And it's okay because, again, we're trained to think our worth is always tied to the results we produce in the world. But if there's one thing the angels have finally gotten through my thick skull, is that you have value in your presence, in your being.
I remember one of the things that you told me from the angels one time in a reading, because I'm one of these people that's active, always going, always doing. I got a million things going all the time, and I don't always give myself that downtime. I'm getting better at that, and I'm starting to do that more. But the angels said that I needed to give myself 3 days to play.
Oh, cool.
To just play and to just have fun.
See, I never remember what they say through me.
And that, you know, and it's true. You know, when we allow ourselves to just do that sometimes, to have that downtime, to just play and not worry about work or whatever, we connect with that sense of joy. And that's a different vibration. And so then we're going to draw different things into our life.
Absolutely. I it never fails that I tend to get invited to do conferences and things after a weekend of goofing off. Because I've actually honored myself, and the universe says, well, all right, then. You know, you've honored yourself. Now I guess we can, too. So, yeah, it does take a whole different mindset to embrace the fact that there's value in who you are regardless of what you're doing. One peaceful soul sleeping in is worth far more than a bunch of neurotic people trying to help the world. Truthfully, it's of more value because, you know, think about it. One person creating peace in the world lends to the vibration of peace that affects wars.
Yeah.
You know, the causes of world hunger, etc. But a bunch of people running around neurotically trying to assist others, they might help, they band-aid, but they don't address the root cause of vibration that creates the problem. So it's far better to be at peace.
So
we can shift the root cause of the consciousness in.
So can you embrace that, Ariana, for yourself?
Oh, yes. I feel like this has been a, you know, a splendidly multifaceted answer.
Oh, good.
Thank you for asking.
Yes.
Thank you for being, Anne.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for being, Ariana.
So should I click off?
I think we're going to move on, so thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Blessings.
Bye-bye. Love
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye. Yes. And You've written several books. I want to talk about your books a little bit.
Okay.
You said the first one, but the one that you shared with everyone first was Bridging the Gap Between Christianity and Mysticism, which was a wonderful book.
Thank you.
A lot of people who came from very traditional religious backgrounds, but now have had awakenings and are in a different spiritual realm, have had trouble bridging that distance,
yes.
or even not only for themselves, but with family members and mm-hmm. other people. And so your book addresses that, and it has really helped a lot of people in that
regard. And I really wrote the book for that reason, because I grew up very Catholic. I loved God. I mean, from when I was a little kid, I mean, we used to take the rosary and pray under the covers when we were supposed to be sleeping, when we were little kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always loved God. And you can imagine I start doing this for a living, and I've got to rethink my notions just a little bit, because dead people start telling you about heaven, and it's broader than the notion I was raised with. It doesn't contradict the notion I was raised with, but it's broader.
Mm-hmm.
And so that book was born out of a deep, deep desire to help people with differing perspectives at least appreciate and acknowledge one another's perspectives. And really, if you want to read the book, I enjoy it. But the bottom line is, the greatest commandment is love God, love neighbor, love self.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can do that, you've got it mastered. Mm-hmm. No matter what faith or path or lack of faith you have, if you can do that. I actually know people who don't know what they believe in God, but they're living far more spiritually than some who claim to, you know, be very zealous, because they do love a bigger power than themselves. They don't even know what to call it.
Mm-hmm.
They do love self. They do love neighbor. You know, it's a faith without works is useless, it says in the Bible, in different terms, obviously. But I believe that when we start getting down to the roots of what we all believe, it's pretty similar.
Yeah, we just call it different things. I mean, I've said that a million times on this show.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what tradition we come from or what terminology we use, you know, or what, mm-hmm. what tradition we practice. I mean, if we embrace that there is a loving God.
Yeah.
And
I think where a lot of people get very bipartisan, if you will, with the religions is around Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But what the angels and Jesus himself, as he comes through, has said is Jesus is the being, Christ is a consciousness, and he was a being who fully embodied the divine consciousness. That consciousness exists within you, me, and everybody else, like a seed waiting to be birthed and given life through our awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he said, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, that was the Christ energy saying, find the divinity, find that Christ consciousness in yourself, find that consciousness, and you will come to God.
And if you come from the Buddhist tradition, you can find that same message through Buddhist teachings.
Absolutely. It's everywhere.
Christmas teachings.
Find God.
Right.
Find God. That's how, you know, find that love inside of you. Find the love, and you will find the Father, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I get a little zealous on this one because the separations to me are not what God came to create.
Yeah, I'm a little zealous on that one too because I don't get it.
Well, God came to create love, not judgment, separation, intolerance, you know, and the rest. And I believe we all have a right to find the way to God that we choose.
Mm-hmm.
But honor everyone else's right to find God in the way that they choose too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there comes a point in your expansion where mm-hmm. you see the inclusiveness rather than the exclusiveness.
Yeah. But another thing that I think I run into a lot is a lot of the times the people who have become a bit on the metaphysical or mystical side want to drag all their religious relatives into that reality. And my suggestion is let them be who they are. Honor their faith. Honor who they are. When they start asking, by all means, answer the questions. But don't push. You'll just turn them off.
Well, yes, because just because you're into New Age, you can be just as fanatical as mm-hmm. somebody in another faith.
Yeah, so there's a real need for everybody to simply respect everyone else's path.
Exactly, exactly.
Which I know your show is all about that.
Yeah.
That's why I like being on it.
That's one of my core beliefs.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I like to promote. You also wrote a second book called Love is the River, Living in the Flow of Divine Grace. And so that kind of embraced a little bit about what we were talking about, you know, not resisting,
mm-hmm.
but surrendering. So talk a little bit about that, if you would.
That book is truly my labor of love. It took over, I think, over 2.5 to 3 years to write because I allowed it to flow through me rather than come from my mind and my ego. I allowed life to actually put me into circumstances so that I could write about them. And the whole premise of that book is that grace is available to you every single moment of your life, as we were talking about, that it's not something that comes to a few chosen people or only the people who are good or behave themselves. It's there for everyone. There's a river of God's love that flows through you and through life at every moment in time. As you learn to wake up and recognize the love behind everything, you can make better choices. You can make choices that are in alignment with your spirit, in alignment with, say, a happier plan for your life. You can allow yourself to surrender a bit. You can learn when you're supposed to do something, when you're supposed to wait, like Ariana brought up. There are times of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the angels often say, if you're on a raft on a river, you're not paddling, but you're still moving.
Oh.
And I love that analogy because there are times in life where God is creating movement for you and you don't think anything's being accomplished. You're frustrated. You don't think you're doing anything, and you might not be. But events might be getting set up behind the scenes in your life to create change that you won't know about until you get downstream a bit.
And that's where trust comes
in.
That's
where trust is huge. And I think the only way we can learn to trust is choose to trust. Choose to trust that there's a good God and a loving God and a force behind the universe that wants to get you into a nicer space in life.
Mm-hmm.
And even the tough stuff is a lesson so that you can make happier choices in the future. You know, I was joking earlier, but I mean, I really did get into some seriously difficult dating situations in my 30s. I mean, you know, I had plenty of guidance not to, but I did it anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I look back and those, in a sense, were the fires that made the diamond. You know, that was really what taught me,
mm-hmm.
you know, the areas in life where I didn't love myself. You know, the gentleman that cheated on me taught me where I was betraying my own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And
believe me, I know that one very well.
Yeah, you know, and I have to look back now and go, that was tough, but that was a great lesson because I've said this in some of my classes. The angels told me to go find him and ask for an apology. I said, well, how am I going to heal this? They said, find him and ask for an apology. That's what you want. And you're not going to feel good until you get that. You know, and at that time, I didn't know their tactics, but they totally set me up. So I went and found him, and I looked at him, and I said, you lied, and I want an apology. And as I looked in his eyes, I recognized the fact that we were one, and I was asking myself for an apology. Because I had been lying to myself all along about what I knew to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost laughed on the spot because I had been totally set up. You know, I was so insistent on thinking he had messed up my life. And in truth, I had messed up my life.
Because you probably had the guidance, but you did it anyway because there was a part of you that wanted to have that.
Yeah, the day he first asked me out, I wrote a poem called Don't Suck Out My Soul. And then I was proud of myself. I listened. I didn't date him. And the next week I was lonely and called him up and dated him. So, in fact, I've created a CD recently called In Search of the Holy Male or Female, where I humorously share all my lessons in why we pick the wrong relationships so that you can create a very good and wonderful one in your life, which, you know, I now have, but it's kind of a humorous look at that.
In Search of the Holy Male.
Yeah, because, you know,
I love that.
We turn the holy male or female into the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
You know, so many of us, when we were younger, even now when we're single and searching, you know, we turn that into the quest in life. I'll be happy when.
Right.
But you find out, and I had to learn this before I ended up in a really good relationship, that, you know, the Holy Grail's in you. You know, the Holy Male or the Holy Female is you. And when you get that and you choose to love yourself, well, then you can live without a little comfort. You can live without a little security. You can live without a little whatever the other person represents. Find it in God, and then you'll find it in another.
And the whole relationship takes on another dimension too.
Right, because you don't come at it from a needy place.
Yeah, because you're not putting that person in the center of your life and being your everything when you, again, back to this
mm-hmm. You're not trying to fix them or change them or
that God is your source, then they just become a companion.
Exactly. It's so different.
And you don't expect that person to be absolutely perfect.
Right, because I'm not. I mean, that's the funny part. It's almost like when we're younger, we expect the other to make up for your own inadequacies.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel secure about myself, so you make me feel secure.
Exactly.
And that's horrible expectations placed on another, and then it kind of messes things up.
There's that whole fairy tale syndrome, you know, that when I have this, then I'm going to live happily ever after and everything's perfect. And that's not what life is about.
Well, the funny part is we have it already.
Within
ourselves. And the funny part is when I really got that I could just love myself, my life was so filled with love and friendships even before I started dating that I felt no lack of love whatsoever. When you really get that, you stop feeling lack in all areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when my bank account doesn't reflect what I feel inside, I know I'm in the flow, for example.
Mm-hmm.
When I need something, it'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now the music's playing. Yeah.
Another half an hour has
whisked by,
so we're going to take another break.
Okay, thank
you. And we have lots more to share with you, so we hope you'll stay with us. We'll be back in a moment on Intuitive Living.
folks, you've been asking for years, when am I going to come on the road? When am I going to do the Robbie Thomas Tour? It is here, officially. The Robbie Thomas Tour 07, Power of Spirit. That is right. Join me as I travel to 23 cities starting May 11th throughout the United States. I'm kicking it off in Kentucky and visiting many places like Chicago, Indianapolis, Knoxville, Memphis, all over the place. And I'm bringing the power of spirit to you. Live seminars, 2 and 3 day live seminars with the live paranormal investigation on each city stop. We're going to see, we're going to feel, we're going to feel good about everything. Write to me, RobbieThomasTour@gmail.com or visit RobbieThomasTour.com. Thank you.
This is Debbie Johnstone, and I'm an animal communicator. Since I was young, I could hear what animals are thinking. I now use this ability to help uncover your animal's questions, concerns, or what they enjoy about being with you. If you want to have a heart-to-heart conversation with your animal, call me, Debbie Johnstone, at 480-444-2341 or visit my website at listentoanimals.com. That's listen, the number 2, animals.com.
Have you been living in a velvet rut? Are you ready to create meaningful relationships and abundance? Yes, you can have it all. Monique Chapman tells you how in her new book, Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book. With advice and techniques that are metaphysically and spiritually sound, Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book will teach you how to tap into universal source energy to reclaim your power and create meaningful relationships and abundance. Don't wait any longer to start living the life you desire now. Order Getting Your M&Ms, The Men and Money Book today by calling toll-free 888-240-6057. Join the thousands who have made a paradigm shift in consciousness in the areas of wealth and relationships using the techniques Monique Chapman shares. Call toll-free 888-240-6057 and get your M&Ms today.